Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HR Latte, your first cup of talent management whipped to perfection.
Hey, everybody, thanks for joining us today. This is Rayanne Thorne. Very excited to continue our series on health. Hey, Josh, are you on right now?
I am.
Can you hear a little bit of an echo, or is it just me?
I think it's just you.
Okay, good. I want to continue on. I heard a bunch of noise in the background, and I want to make sure that we were all good to go. So let me start over. Welcome to HR Latte. Again, this is Rayanne Thorne. I have a wonderful guest as I continue my series on healthcare HR today, Josh Rock, who is a healthcare recruiter with Fairview Health Services. And Josh, I'm going to give the mic over to you so you can give us a rundown of who you are, what you do, how you came to this place at Fairview Health Services. I think it's a fairly interesting story, and so then we'll jump into our topic, which is healthcare hiring. So it's all yours.
Sounds great. Thanks, Rand. Yeah, my name is Josh Rock. I am a healthcare recruiter at Fairview Health Services here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We are a nonprofit healthcare organization, about 22,000 employees strong, that has a fantastic partnership with the University of Minnesota, having a number of hospitals, clinics, outpatient services, one of the largest home care divisions in the state of Minnesota. So a lot going on here as an organization. How I got here to Fairview, I actually started in media. I was in radio and print for a long time. Got into recruitment marketing where I really kind of carved my niche and what I really wanted to do. And did that for about 9 years with a company called JobDig and LinkedIn. Some of your listeners may be familiar. They may have done advertising with them in the past. But I got to hear all the problems of recruiters and job seekers during that 9 years. And when they laid me off, I said, you know what? Time to channel that expertise that I built and that knowledge base and become a recruiter and bridge those gaps that I was hearing about for so long. And so I went to a hospital closer to where I live called Center Care, St. Cloud Hospital, a mid-range medical center, about 8,300 employees. And it was about shortly after that Fairview called and said, hey, we need your expertise. We could really use somebody who knows recruitment marketing and employment branding, but also help us recruit because we've got a lot going on here. And so I joined them in January and as a contractor and became permanent back in May and have been rocking and rolling ever since. I love it. I've got a passion for jobs. And I use the line all the time when I'm talking to candidates that the patient care here at our hospital starts at my desk by bringing in great talent. So I love what I do, and I'm having a blast doing it.
Well, I love when people are so passionate about what they do. I had the opportunity to have Jay Coons on last week as we were talking about healthcare HR and the work that he does. And it's so much fun for me to have a conversation with somebody that really gets into what they do. So let's jump right into it. You're at Fairview. You've done a little bit of comprehension understanding about the jobs market, about hiring. What is the biggest difference when you consider your time before being in healthcare hiring that you can see between recruiting in general and recruiting in healthcare? Was there a big learning curve for you as you jumped into this? I know that you were doing some digital media also with a healthcare organization prior to being with Fairview or alongside your work at Fairview.
Yeah.
And so can you give us a little bit of an idea of the biggest difference there?
You know, really for me, it wasn't as much about the differences of organization to organization. You know, granted, you know, people have to have not only their degrees and their licenses, but it was more about finding, you know, upcoming employees that are passionate about delivering quality of care. And so I can find people who have qualifications till there's no end, but it has to go beyond that. And, you know, when you take your passion for what you do as a recruiter or an HR professional and you align that with candidates who are passionate about it, you're going to have wins up and down every day. You know, so I wouldn't say there was a huge learning curve for me except for the speed of this particular organization. I mean, I've been here since January and I've hired over 190 people,
wow.
Which seems like a lot. You know, my rec load sits at 93 recs right now. where the average full-timer nationally has, what, 45 maybe?
Right.
I didn't think healthcare was high volume. I think that was the biggest adjustment for me. But I've been having a blast and making sure that I'm supplied with caffeine every day.
There you go. Well, I started off my career as a healthcare recruiter, in recruiting, and I worked for executive healthcare recruitment. And the biggest thing that I gained right away, the biggest learning principle for me, was that it's not just about healthcare professionals. It's not just about nurses and doctors, right? When you think about a hospital, it's easy for us on the outside to forget that it is a full organization, a full business, that they have environmental services, there are laboratory services, there are pharmaceuticals, you know, there's all these different services that lie within this organization that have to be fulfilled, that have to be kept up with up-to-date professionals who know their space within that vertical, within that industry, right? So are you doing clinical and non-clinical roles? Are you doing executive roles? How are you, what type, give us an average requisition that would come across your desk each day.
You know, right now I've got a couple of departments. I cover ER, which is fascinating and interesting. I enjoy it. It's high-paced, it's high-touch because it's very competitive. I also cover imaging, and so I get my tech geek going when I get to talk to imaging folks, because they're the ones that are playing with the awesome machines.
They are.
CT, MR, you know, all these different fun scanners and, you know, exam machines. And so I get to get my geek on with them. But then I also get to do home care and hospice, which when you want to talk passion in healthcare as an RN, it doesn't get any less glamorous than home care.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You have to really, really enjoy it, especially hospice. When you're dealing with dying patients that aren't going to improve, it takes a special, special person to do that. And so I enjoy, you know, when I get those positions handed over to me, to find that special person, that special personality that can take, who could be my dying grandparent, and provide the care that they need through that end stage of life.
You know, it becomes a calling for these individuals that work in hospice and home health. It's, they feel like that is where they need to be. That is where their strengths are. And that is the fastest growing arena of healthcare today. Healthcare hiring is, and in that arena, and the needs are only going to get greater as we focus more on remote healthcare, much like many of us work from home or are able to have a virtual employment. We're starting to see a little bit more of virtual healthcare and the self-help that is happening with a lot of patients. They have to be able to understand their own healthcare and take control of that with the guidance of home health professionals. One of the issues that is facing healthcare today, there are actually a couple, interoperability, which is aided by what's happening with ICD-10. Now, many people don't know, if you're outside of healthcare, don't understand what that is or the impact. ICD-10 is an attempt to have universal coding across the board when it comes to your health as an individual. When you think of your personal health record and you go from hospital to hospital, state to state, country to country, it allows your medical record to go with you. It is connected to you. And any care that you might need can be looked at, your past care, your previous care can be looked at and easily accessed, so that the healthcare professional that's working with you at any given time can have a full picture of your medical history. And this is something that is going on around the world. It's already in place in every place else except for the U.S. And a few other places. But there's been an ongoing delay year after year. I think last year was the third annual delay that was set in motion. And now we're looking at ICD-10 actually moving forward on October 1st if a delay doesn't happen between now and then. So we've got about, you know, six to seven weeks for somebody to kick it into gear and stop, you know, put a red tape across it again. So are you seeing this effort to move forward with universal coding as having any impact on your hiring process? And is it important to hire healthcare professionals, whether they are clinical or otherwise, that they need to be ready to embrace these changes? What do you see happening in your own organization?
You know, yeah, I mean, ICD-10 is something that we definitely keep an eye on, especially when it comes to the coders that I hire for imaging. You know, the coders are coming out of school with ICD-10 training, but unfortunately with the delays, you know, they went into school thinking, oh, this is going to be rolled out at this particular time. Well, with these delays, some of those students have actually had to go back and get ICD-9 training to backfill until just in case to see what happens.
Right.
Now, if I'm a student, that's frustrating because I've shelled out all this money to be ready and marketable for ICD-10 to then have it delayed and have to go pay more money to go get ICD-9 for a short period of time potentially. So,
wow.
You do have to deal with some of that frustration, with those upcoming students, but then also those more senior coders, making sure that they have what they need and be ready for ICD-10. So there is some, issues that we have to play with and make sure that we're doing our due diligence as recruiters to make sure that the people that we're bringing in are ready and the departments are ready to take on those particular candidates depending upon what side of the coin they end up on.
So, yes, it does have impact. and will continue to have. I'm sure everybody is kind of holding their breath until after the October 1st deadline. Hopefully it'll go forward and there will be no further delays. Thank you for sharing
exactly.
your perspective on that. I think it's important across healthcare HR today to understand that this is ongoing. And every industry, healthcare, any other industry, manufacturing, there are going to be delays that happen in this type of moving forward as everybody updates from paper, using paper to, online records or using the cloud more in our daily work, just depending on our industry. So it's nice to understand that there are specifics that are happening and to help people outside of the industry to see the issues that you face as a professional working within and hiring within the industry. As you look at what you're doing, you know, you've got 22,000 employees, you got 90 plus requisitions on your desk right now. You're hiring in ER, imaging, home health, hospice, perhaps a few other arenas. What is the most pressing issue that you find coming across your desk right now in healthcare hiring?
For me, it's competition.
Wow.
Companies are going all out to find the talent that they need. They're more than happy to steal from each other. And I laugh at that a little bit because a lot of my friends here in the Minneapolis marketplace are in healthcare recruiting. And so when we get together in a social atmosphere, we actually will throw jabs at each other about how many people we stole from the other person recently. It's fun competition. But it also drives our companies forward because we're continually looking to bring in the best talent. I'm actually sitting here at the university right now outside of the offices of my quality department. And I recently have hired 4 candidates from one of my closest competitors here in town that just weren't feeling the love for their organization. So, you know, in this post-recession environment, it's one of those times where we can go in and say, hey, you know what? You've been with XYZ company for how many years? You dealt with the recession. You went through the downtrodden times. How about coming and joining something now that's growing, that's a dynamic, that has all of these different parts to our culture and start, you know, a new chapter in your career? And it works.
Oh, that's great.
You know, you don't have to, you know, do a variety of different things or sell on a couple of things. You can show them different opportunities, and you're going to land them. So it's competition. I mean, when you talk about going paperless, I'm still surprised that the volumes of organizations that still do paper hiring, printing out applications
wow. yeah.
and all that, but let alone paper documentation in healthcare.
And right.
there are many, many times where I'm able to reach out to a young professional who is, skilled in electronic, documenting, so Epic
right.
or other, Horizons maybe. But they're working for an organization that does paper charting and they're pulling their hair out. So I can even use that as bait to bring those people on. So it's very interesting to see, you know, what's going to make somebody move. But also it's then preparing the hiring managers or the decision makers about what's going on in those competitive spaces so that way they retain their talent better. I mean, there's one part of recruiting that's going out and seeking new candidates, but it's a whole other part of recruiting that's telling your managers to retain their talent and giving them the tools to do
that's
so.
That's right.
It's job security on both sides.
So that whole retention side of it that takes employment branding, employer branding, and moves it over through culture. You know, you pass through this hallway called culture, and then you've got retention, right? So we have to work on employee engagement, employee retention, and hang on to them. We spend so much time and money hiring the right people and getting quality through our door that somehow we get lost between that culture and retention space. And so I think we're going to see that as we are. Employee engagement is becoming one of the hot buttons in HR and hiring today, and making sure that the new hires know, hey, we're going to hang on to you. We're going to treat you well. This is going to be the right move for you. I think it's interesting you talked about paperless. Back when I was in healthcare recruiting many, many years ago, we were just talking about, hey, this hospital is completely paperless, you know, back in the early 2000s. Are you equipped for that? Do you want that? And it was a way of driving candidates away. It was a whittling of the field. You know, you had folks that had been working in healthcare their whole career for 30 years, and they didn't want anything to do with learning anything new. They had their hands full. They didn't want to go to a paperless organization. So I love that now it is bait that's being used instead of a refining of your candidate field, and able to say, you know what, we're having trouble finding candidates that want to go paperless. And now it's bait, so that's great. That's exciting to hear, and important because of ICD-10, because of all these changes that we have in technology. And you talk about imaging. Wow, I just went and had an X-ray done on my foot, and it was a completely different experience than what it would have been 15 years ago, right? It's quick, in and out the door. They look at it immediately. You don't have to go back for a retake because processing of the image takes, you know, an hour or 15 minutes, and it can't be done right away. So it's fascinating how technology has changed the provision of healthcare for each of us today. So are you witnessing any kind of disconnect when you consider the work that you do, leadership within the hospital, outside of HR? Is there a disconnect between the heads of hospitals and the HR departments, or are they starting to work together better?
I have to say, you know, as fragmented as our organization is, because we've got, you know, I think 20 different brands underneath our Fairview umbrella, from insurance providers to home care to, athletic medicine to varieties of other areas, clinics, that, you know, they have their own little areas, but they all understand what HR is doing to make sure that they're not only successful now, but successful down the road. We've got fabulous leadership and talent acquisition and workforce development, where they're continually developing partnerships with schools and organizations to help develop the future of healthcare talent. But then also going into the less fortunate regions of our territory in the Twin Cities marketplace, and building programs within those demographics to make sure that they're better off in short term and long term, you know, with the generations to come. So, you know, putting together educational programs, setting up scholarship programs, all these different initiatives to empower, you know, a demographic that may be less employable, you know, 5-10 years ago, and give them the tools so that they're ready to go, 3-4 years from now, as they graduate some of those programs, you know, and then also, you know, the generations or the classes graduating in years to come. So, they definitely have their eye on the ball. One thing that we're working on right now is, you know, our talent acquisition, our recruitment teams are separate. But how can we come together as a unit, being that we're all in the same building now, to put our efforts together so that way those talent acquisition teams that are building those programs can take those recruiters with them to some of those events and do some of those informational interviews and get them that much more excited about those opportunities in a shorter turnaround time. So we're continually looking at improvements in collaboration, not only within our own department, but within other areas, to make sure that our future is brighter than it ever was.
I just love hearing stories like this, and especially an organization as large, as big an employer as your organization that's really making a difference in not only within the organization, but in the surrounding community that it actually serves. And Josh, when you consider your efforts now as a recruiter for Fairview, and we've been talking for years. I'm gonna say that it goes back probably as far as 8 years ago when we first mentioned the phrase social recruiting, and there were maybe 30 people that were raising the banner, shaking the pom-poms, screaming social recruiting from the stands, and the rest were throwing tomatoes at us, right, and saying there's no such thing, it isn't out there. So when you consider the efforts that you do personally for your requisitions and what Fairview is doing as well, are there technologies that are supporting your efforts? Are there social technologies that you are using? And if so, what are they? And what else are you doing on the social media side to benefit your hiring practice?
Yeah, you know, I laugh when you mention some of those stories about what organizations should be doing. When I joined my previous organization, CentraCare, they didn't do any of that stuff.
Right.
And I challenged, they were a longtime client. Through an ad agency. And when I went there and interviewed for the recruiter role, the recruiter was a little hesitant because, shockingly, Josh Rock does not have a college degree, but he's skilled at what he does. And, when I went there and I said, here's my top 10 list of things that I want to do. And one of them is social sourcing and social recruiting. And, they're like, well, you're going to run up against walls with marketing and this and that and the other. And I'm like, great, bring it on. And
yeah.
We did, and we took it on, and when I left it way better than it was when I got there, and I put somebody in place who's just carried the torch from then on, and he's done fantastically with it. But here at Fairview, I've taken some of those same ideas. They hadn't really done anything with Facebook to recruit. And so recently I went to my home care and hospice managers, and I said, okay, guys, you wanted us to do LinkedIn. LinkedIn doesn't work for home care nurses. Shocking, guys. I said, but let's do a Facebook campaign. Give
right.
me four people who are just killing it with their patients. People who you continually get comments on from their patients and their patients' families. And get them to do a profile.
Tell
the
story.
Blog post about who they are, why they like working here, what keeps them coming back. And, so that way when their friends, their families, and other people who are like them here in the greater Twin Cities metropolitan area see that on Facebook, they want to join and be just like that person. And so
right.
we're doing that right now. My communications team is putting together those interviews, and we'll be launching that program here very, very shortly.
Oh, that's exciting.
I'm
going to go like
the
page right now
ERT.
So I can So do you have a separate page from the Fairview Health Services page is separate from the Fairview recruiting page or HR page? Do you have a separate page?
No, we don't have separate pages yet, and I'm still battling that war, so keep posted on that.
Okay, all right.
But we'll get there, but I'm baby steps. With an organization that's this large and this conservative, it takes some baby steps a little bit with it. When CareCare was only, a third of the size, and it took about 10 conversations. Hopefully it'll take less than 40 here, and maybe we'll get it taken care of. But it's a war that I plan to win. But we're going to do that, and we're doing the same thing. I'm doing the same thing with my ER. When you look at the capacity that it takes to be an ER nurse, and, you look at the specialty there, I want to do the exact same thing. I brought that same idea to their manager. He was very resistant on it to start. And, I sat in his office and I showed him how it worked, not only from a story capacity, but also a social influence capacity. He's like, you know what? I was wrong. Do it. And so we're doing it. They're working on it right
yeah.
now.
Actually really great. The Fairview page is great. There's a lot of great information for the community. Over 25,000 likes on the page. So they're ongoing posting. So it's one of those sites that's active that is keeping in touch with the community. And there's a really wonderful, as you know, spinoff effect when you're able to incorporate employee engagement into the site that's specifically just for, the community, right? You're able to show the community, hey, our people love working here. And it spreads out and it changes how the community or patients feel about the organization. They actually care about me. They're willing to put stuff out. And it always fascinates me when you go to an organization and say, we need a Facebook presence. And they look at you and say, why?
Yeah.
Because there's 1.5 billion active users every month on Facebook. That's why.
Exactly.
I mean, it's fascinating to me when there's resistance for that. It sounds like you're doing great work there, and I'm excited to see what happens. I will watch the page. I've liked it now. I want to see those profiles that they come up from your home health side of your practice, and I'll help share those out because I think those stories are important, and it not only for your specific organization but for the industry, the healthcare industry, for the hiring space where you and I spend a lot of time because of our passion for it. As you consider your career and your move into officially, I know that you were doing some contract work and now you're officially a full-time employee at Fairview. Do you have any last words of wisdom that you might share with somebody that's looking to maybe launch a career in recruiting or has fallen into it as you did, as I did? You know, I didn't start off my life thinking, hey, I'm going to go be a recruiter in healthcare. Are there any, is it a great profession to jump into? Is it a worthy endeavor for folks out there that are trying to consider something in HR and don't know where to go?
It is. It is totally fulfilling. It's one of those things. I mean, I started out my education in political science and law, and here I'm in recruiting. I mean, you want to talk about light shades of difference. but, you know, it's one of those things where if you like to engage and connect and tell stories and listen to stories, recruiting's for you. Because that's what you're doing is, you know, you're creating somebody's next chapter of their career. If you're one of those who has the heart of a caretaker and the mentality of a salesperson, recruiting is for you. Because that's what you do every day. You're caring for your organization. You're caring for your managers. You're caring for your candidates. But you're also putting both of those two entities in a point of success. You're making them better than they were the day before you took that opportunity to help them fill that job. So it's one of those things where, you know, and I'm going to channel Steve Bowen and say, I get geeked every day at what I do.
Well, that is the best testimony of all right there. You know, coming from somebody that, you know, is new to this, fairly new to this organization. You haven't been with Fairview for too long, and you really love your job. It's evident in how you share your experiences, how you share what you're doing. And I just want to thank you for coming on HR Latte and joining me as I continue my series on healthcare HR today. There are so many different aspects, as you know, of HR. And healthcare is a special place for me. We're also prepping to see what happens at the ASHRA conference that will be taking place in September. So this was my effort to really focus on healthcare HR and help the folks that are ASHRA members to see some other things that are going on in a social side of healthcare HR. My favorite part of the show, Josh, I don't know if you've listened to HR Latte in the past, is
I have many times.
Okay, to dig into the person, and this is I call this my selfish endeavor of the show, but I like to talk to my guests and really find out something new for me, maybe a new thing that I can try. And so I have this quick hit list that I always ask, the quick hit fave. So I'm going to hit you with them, and then we'll say goodbye. But again, thank you so much for joining us today. What's your favorite book? And this could be something you're reading now, or it could be something that's stayed with you your whole life.
You know what? One that I'm working on right now, and I'm actually using a lot with my managers, is a good friend of ours, Marcus Buckingham, Standout 2.0.
Ah, yes.
And here's why. I'm continually finding managers who need to plan accordingly for development in their team. So why not look at the strengths of their team? And,
God,
you know,
I love
one thing
that
what they do great and where they can build. And, you know, I got to hang out with Marcus and his team at SHRM 15 down in Vegas. And I got to work with their CEO, Jason Averbuch, and their VP of Sales, Jessica Chung, on some of the events regarding the conference. And, you know, I had used his book before, but not nearly to the degree that I am now. I mean, I drink the Kool-Aid. I'm not afraid to say it. But, you know, I've been, you know, providing, you know, that information, some of the insights there to my upcoming managers. those managers that have taken new roles and want to find the strengths of their team so that way they can develop them down the road and retain that top talent. So that's one thing that I'm using right now.
I have followed Marcus Buckingham and StrengthFinders for many years, so I'm going to have to invest in this book. Thank you for your recommendation. I'm looking at my shelf right now. I have a StrengthFinders 2.0, which was the follow-up for the original Find Your Strengths, and have taken the test a couple of times, that original test,
mm-hmm.
and have found it very interesting that through my career and my own personal development, that my strengths have changed and developed, and
yep.
and either grown stronger, or some things that I thought were important 5 years prior to the last test were not so important the next time I took it. So I think it's important to stay in touch with who you are, what your own strengths are, and where you can further develop. Thank you for that recommendation. Okay.
Yeah.
Favorite food.
Favorite food? I'm an HR guy. It's got to be bacon. every conference that I host, you know, here in Minnesota, when I do the Minnesota SHRM conferences, or I'm helping out with another conference across the country, the one thing that I always make sure on the menu is bacon. If you're in HR, that's the one constant. So it's got to be bacon.
I'm looking at a picture on my wall which says you had me at, and then it's just pictures of strips of bacon. So you had me at bacon. So let's see.
A local bacon manufacturer here in Minnesota actually just followed me on Twitter this week.
Oh,
so I'm like,
hilarious.
Hey, you know, I must be talking about it just a little bit.
Yeah. Are you hashtagging it when you post it out?
Oh yeah. Yeah, you gotta hashtag bacon when you put it out there.
That's good to know. That's great advice. Your favorite place. Now, this could be a remote location, a favorite, a favorite vacation spot. It could be a place in your town. It could be the park where you hang out with your kids. It could be the hockey rink. You know, there could be a lot of different places that are Josh Rock's favorite place. So what's your favorite place?
Way to play spoiler there. Yes, it is the ice rink. You know, to follow up with my HR puckheads, you know, my good friend Jay Coons. That's what we do as, you know, not only, hockey nuts, but as dads. His son,
yeah.
Jeff's in hockey. My son, Cullen's, you know, in hockey. Granted, Cullen's only 6 compared to Jeff being a high school graduate. But I love being at the rink.
I love that.
I enjoy coaching it. I mean, I coach 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kids, and they're just starting it. And I'm not some, you know, NHL coach. I'm just somebody who wants to develop the interest and the fascination and the excitement of the game. And,
oh,
you know, it's not only do I, you know, I spend the time with them on the ice, but I take them to events, autograph signing so that they can meet the high school, the college, the NHL players that they hear so much about and see so much on, you know, in television and media, and meet them face to face. And it just builds that excitement even more. So, you know,
that's great.
You know, Jay and I are a part of the official HR Puckheads group, but, you know, it goes farther beyond that with our kids.
I love that, and I really did not know that's what you were going to answer. I just knew that was one of your interests, so that's wonderful.
Totally.
I'm sorry I spoiled it.
That's okay.
And last but not least, Josh, what is your favorite thing to do?
My favorite thing to do? Spend time with my kids. Anybody who follows me on social media is going to see a lot of pictures of me and my kids doing just one-off stuff, going and getting root beers at A&W, going
wonderful.
And, you know, ice cream and at a park and skipping rocks at Lake up on Lake Superior. It's just spending time with my family. You know, as a recruiter, I spend a lot of time in front of a computer. But when I do, the time that I do spend with my family is special time. Last weekend, my daughter celebrated her golden birthday. And we had 10-year-old girls with us at our house having a sleepover. And I broke with the projector, and I did a movie up on the wall in our garage, and it was just fun. You know, it's good time. I mean, some people can't do droves of kids. I can't. I can do 30,000 high school kids, my youth group kids. But I enjoy just spending time with them and doing what they want to do.
Well, and I can tell you from personal experience that this will benefit you for the rest of your life. I have four children myself, and the last one just graduated from high school and is leaving next week for college, and it changes everything. And the empty nest is real, I'm telling you. The struggle is real. So enjoy it and take advantage of the time that you have with them, because this is something you will never look back and say, I regret that I spent so much time with my kids. You know, you will never regret it. And so that's a perfect note to end HR Latte today. Josh, I want to thank you so much for being my guest. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
It was great fun. And we'll be sharing it out. My series on Healthcare HR Today will continue. Next week, I'll be speaking with Blake Moser, who recently of top recruiter fame from medicalrecruiting.com will be with us to talk a little bit more about recruiting in healthcare. And also, I'll be speaking with Nancy Rubin, who is a vice president of HR for a very interesting healthcare organization, hospital in Los Angeles. Join me then. Until that time, thanks for tuning in to HR Latte.